Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Right, umbrellas held high, matching backpacks and maps, often the trade tools of our tour guides, and you'll see them shepherding their charges around our busy town and city centres as they impart their wisdom to visitors from home and abroad. But in a land of storytellers, what skills do you need to keep an audience hooked and hanging on to your every word? Well, I'm joined in the studio now by Jennifer Carberry, who's a tour and experience coordinator at the Abbey Theatre, who gave walking tours of Dublin for 10 years. Jennifer, you're very welcome. Lovely to have you here.
Thank you very much.
And I have Jim Ward on the phone, who's owner of Galway Trails and chairperson of the Galway Tour Guides Association. Hello, Jim.
How are you doing, Claire?
Lovely to have you with us. Now, Jennifer, you, as I said, gave walking tours of the capital for 10 years. Now you're doing the tours of the Abbey Theatre. Who takes that tours? What types of people? What nationalities?
Well, particularly, like say in the Abbey, we get a lot of domestic local people, Irish people who love to come and get a window into how we make a show, get behind the scenes, look at the intricate details of how people make things, the lights, the costumes, and how all that work brings that show to life. For the street, I suppose a lot of people, we have a blend of international tourists as well as a lot of domestic. Formerly, you would have had a lot more tourists come, but since about 2015, I think, with the decade of centenaries, we have a lot more Irish people engaging with walking around the city.
Which is great to see, I'm sure. So what is the secret sauce then that makes that tour of the capital, the walking tour, come alive, do you think, Jennifer?
Well, I think it's the devil is in the detail. You have to kind of build the context. You have to give people a sense of the overall sense of Dublin, the history of Dublin, but then bring in those gorgeous details. So let's say the 1916 commemorations. Some things like the Gate Lodge, when people entered the castle, when the rebels attacked it, the guards were making stew. It was 12:30 and everybody was making stew. The DM, the Dublin Metropolitan Policeman, were making stew. So when the rebels attacked, there was a Bureau of Military History's statement that said that after the rebels tied up the guards, they ate the stew. So sometimes it's those moments.
The little detail.
Or else like with Dr. Kathleen Lynn, when she got arrested and they brought her into a room at the back of the castle, she actually complained that the room was very dirty and somebody came and tidied the room for her. So I suppose it's that moment. It's given the big picture, the overall, say, how the river has influenced the growth of the city. But then making experiences and stories that relate to either to people's emotional connection or something they can relate to, like it was a glorious sunny day on Easter Monday.
Just making it relevant and bringing it alive.
Yeah, and those small details.
And Jim, for you, how did you, because I often see tour guides and I think, how did you end up doing this? For you, how did it happen?
Well, basically because I'm able to talk and spin the tale. I'm a playwright and a writer as well. I've got some plays, one's on the YouTube at the James Joyce Centre. No, basically I was an engineer. I qualified with an MBA, but then I became a carer for a relative and I had to reinvent myself a couple of years ago. So I did two courses, one in digital marketing, one in tour guiding. It was suggested I be a tour guide by a former girlfriend of mine who said, because I would induce girls around town to show them the town of Galway and all that. And I just got into it that way.
And then when you're bringing the different nationalities around, I mean, what sort of cultural differences do you see with people when you're showing them around? I'm sure you get loads of Americans in Galway, do you?
The Americans are not only in Galway, but on the nationwide trips of Rhodes Scholar as well. That's ROAD. They're 55 years plus. They visit Ireland for their to discover different cultures, other lands, and basically there's an Irish link as well. They want to discover their Irish heritage. If we're careful with some of the tours in Galway, because you cannot do a tour in Ireland without mentioning the famine or the past or the colonialist experience as well. And the British tourists tend to yawn or look the other way or say, look at that tree over there, and all, when you're talking about that. The Americans love that because it's connecting with their heritage, the immigration, all that. And the Germans really absorb it because it's getting back at the Brits in some way.
Mm-hmm. Your own motto then, Jennifer, when it comes to holding the attention of people, I know you've taken inspiration from Shane McComosh, who sadly is no longer with us. Tell us about that.
Well, I suppose a good few tour guides of my age around Dublin, we were before the decade of centenaries, we were interested in stories and going to Glasnevin and meeting Shane McComosh and how he wove those stories. How he he created the detail. Sometimes he brought in mythology, sometimes he brought in remembrance. I suppose I teach in Dublinia and to tour guides there, and his motto was beautiful. It was, you know, tell them something they know, like the obvious things of what they see. Embellish that with something they don't know so that they can learn, and never be afraid to either make them laugh or cry. You know, it's okay to be uncomfortable. If you're comfortable in what you know and the stories that you're telling, it's okay if it's a bit sad. Mm-hmm. It's sometimes better if it's a bit funny for the group. But I think some stories are important to tell. And I think Shane McThomas was an inspiration for people like the Come Here To Me lads, like Donal Fallon, or particularly myself. Just, he had a way with words and captivating people. And I think he set a standard that many of us tried to bring with us.
Yeah, and just that notion of telling people, Jim, something that they don't know. We'd be surprised what people don't know or what people are surprised by. Will you tell us the story about the group from Las Vegas and their reaction when you showed them the snog in the pub?
Yeah, it's just because the simple things really matter. There was an evening tour with a group of 30 people from Las Vegas here for a wedding. And I was walking down the main pedestrianised street in Galway, and we passed a certain pub. And there was a snug in that pub, an old Victorian snug in the pub, where the ladies used to drink when they weren't allowed in the main bar. So I pointed this out to them, and I said, but the door was open at the time. I said, by the way, there's a snug in there. I explained what a snug was. And man for man, woman for woman, they each went in, peered in the snug, and took a photograph, snapshot of it. They were amazed by it. They never saw it. Coming from Vegas, certainly they would never have seen such a thing. But there is a story around every bend and twist and turn in Galway City, not just a historical story, but an anecdote or a funny story. And, you know, there's James Joyce connection with Galway. There's the 1916 connection. The whiskey trails and all that. Indeed, one friend of mine was in a pub in Galway last year, and an American walked in and stood him and his friend two whiskies each, and he had two whiskies, and the bill came to over $5,000. A certain blend, a whiskey that was sold in the pub. Now, the American guy could absorb it because I found out later on he was actually a team writer from Hollywood who was visiting Galway at the time.
Luckily.
I'm sure he would have been forewarned about the price before he ordered. But that's just one story. Another story connected with James Joyce is that the Bowling Green in Galway, where Nora Barnacle Joyce came from, she was a Galway woman, Nora Barnacle, and original Ulysses ended up in the house of one of the neighbours, original signed Ulysses, which would be priceless on today's market. But I think this is actually recorded in RTE archives, that the neighbour who got the book, a visiting professor came to the house, a US professor visiting the house from the university, he was an American in the university. He probably saw cash registers in his eyes, but he came and he said, do you have a Ulysses in the house? Could I have a look at it? And the man said, the answer was, and this is on RTE recordings, well, he says there was a priest visited the house and he said that was a dirty book to my wife. So my wife said, either the book goes or I go. So I looked at the wife and she was a good cook, so the book ended up in the attic. That was the story around the Ulysses. So somewhere in Bowling Green, there's an original priceless Ulysses.
Yes, yeah, hidden away in the attic. And Jennifer, what always gets a laugh from your people who you're walking around or who you used to travel with around the city centre?
Well, I think the nicknames of Dublin, I mean, the floozy and the jacuzzi, the erection at the intersection. But also, I suppose one of my favourites is the plaque for Father Pat Noyes on O'Connell Bridge.
Tell us about this. This is a fascinating one.
It's a plaque that is dedicated to a person that never existed. It is remembering an event that didn't happen, and it's placed there by a person we don't know. And I suppose it's right in the middle of O'Connell Bridge. It's for Father Pat Noyes. And the Dublin City Council only noticed it around 2011. They tried to remove it. The Irish Times got letters back and they left it there. So this moment, I think it's the 19th of August, 1919. In 2019, there was lots of flowers there. But somebody placed it there and I suppose they wanted to see tour guides what they talk about. And Father Pat Noyes never existed. I mean, Pádraig Kearney's mentioned. But I think when you tell the story in the right way to an audience, the idea that we could have something that is made up still on the bridge allows us to talk about the fact that we're storytellers. Never quite believe what you hear, but never let the truth get in the way of a really good story.
I think that's a good place to end. Jennifer Carberry and Jim Ward, thank you both. A real pleasure to talk to you on the programme.